morning, witches. This is the Witch Daily Show with host Tanya Brown. We are coming to you from New Orleans, Louisiana, to offer you a bite-sized bit of magic. Our 20-minute-ish episodes are the perfect start to your day. So sit back, relax, and enjoy your pop of magic.
Good morning. It is September 16th, 2021. It is Thursday. I am Tanya, and this is the Witch Daily Show. Today's episode is brought to you by Siobhan Duncan. So let's get your day going with a little magic. Our quote of the day is from the Busy Witches 2022 planner. A witch is born out of the true hungers of her time, by Ray Bradbury. So, we're not doing tea this week, hopefully next week. So let's go on and move right into some headlines. This comes to us from edinburghnews.scotsman.com. Cordisfin Trust erects plaque to remember those in local areas accused and killed as witches. So this was written by Hannah Brown. So the plaque is erected in St. Margaret's Park next to Cordisfin Trust's Dower House and pays tribute to six women and one man accused of witchcraft in the local area. The accusations and executions of these people under the Witchcraft Act of 1563 took place between May and September of 1649. Those wrongly accused were Beatrix Watson, Margaret Bell, Marian Inglis, Catherine Gibb, Elizabeth Scott, Margaret Bailey, and William Scott. So having looked into the work of local historian Noah Carlin, who studied the witch hunts, the resident Emma Cowan contacted the trust to erect the plaque. Emma Cowan said, "As soon as I read Nora's work, I burst into tears and felt so angry because of the devastating stories. I just thought, I've been to these places, like the church, and so many times, and I didn't know about the history which surrounds them. Accusations including having an evil eye, a charming and harming by magic, and having a pact and sex with the devil of Clermiston Hill. Some were executed and others died during cross-examination, with 80-year-old Catherine Gibb dying while kept awake in a barn, and with Beatrix Watson hanging herself while imprisoned. Those executed for witchcraft in Scotland tended to be strangled and a fire would be lit under their bodies. Witch hunters in the area included Cordisfin George Lord Forrester." So McGowan added, "He was one of the witch hunters, but there's so many places where his family's name is remembered, like Forrester High School, and nothing about the women and one man persecuted under this irrational and sensational act." Miss Gowan has also got together a group of friends to create a tapestry to remember the local victims of the Witchcraft Act. The artwork will have sections dedicated to each wrongly accused with local symbols such as a lantern and sycamore leaf at the center. Sorry for the coughing, I've been sick. The tapestry will be shown in Dower House when it is finished. Historian Nora Carlin said, "It has been great to see the history of the witches unearthed after she started researching 30 years ago." So, yeah. I mean, that's very interesting if, like, high schools are named after, like, witch hunters, but, like, no one is remembering the victim, so... good on them. That's pretty cool. All right, I'm going to throw this over to our moon correspondent, and then after this break, we will talk more.
Hello to all of my astro gods and goddesses. This is Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, coming at you with your daily moon mantra for Thursday, September 16th. The waxing gibbous moon moves from the bouldered terrain of Capricorn up into the lofty stratosphere of Aquarius today. Here, the moon squares Venus and Mercury and trines the Sun and Mars. We want to do what's right for ourselves, but we can't help but consider what the impact will be on the people around us. Life is a delicate balance of both of these. We have to make sure that we are fulfilling our own basic needs, but we really shouldn't do this at the cost of others getting their needs met as well. Be circumspect in your moves today. Keep an eye on the balance sheet and make sure both columns are full. Your daily moon mantra is, to survive in this world, we have to act in concert with others, but to survive as ourselves, we also have to find the space to act alone. This has been your Daily Moon Mantra with Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, signing off and reminding you that you are in charge of your own destiny.
We have been obsessed with predicting the future ever since the dawn of civilization. We've watched the stars, gazed into crystal balls, thrown bones, and read cards with the hope of getting a glimpse of future events. We have found ways to divine with just about everything, all in an effort to better understand ourselves and our place in the magical world. A Curious Future by Kiki Dombrowski is your guidebook to a variety of divination practices. Did you know that you can divine with wine? Or that a simple pair of dice can give you prophetic insight? Or that candle wax may help answer questions about your inquisitive inquiries? This book will help you predict the future through a variety of insights and sometimes unusual techniques. This greatly expanded second edition offers extended interpretations, additional reflective passages, and even more choices of curious divination to try. Learn different methods for awakening your psychic abilities to support your exploration into divination. Learn how to scry, use dowsing rods, read tea leaves, work with runes, see auras, decipher omens and clouds, and much more. A Curious Future can help you move forward into a mystical and inspiring path. A Curious Future by Kiki Dombrowski is now available for pre-order on Amazon and other places books are sold. All right, so we have a question from listener Lilith. Lilith says, happy midweek, my glorious witchy friends. I have a question for the earth, stone, rock witches. I have always had trouble connecting to stones, crystals, and rocks. I read up on intentions, aspect, and multiple ways of connecting to your stones. I use them in my magic like any other tool. I'm a great grounder and can pull power from the earth directly. I have little stone jars that I charge and will be charging tonight in the full moon. My big earth connection is my dog, grounding as ever, and I can hear plants almost. So I know I have the basic earth connection, but it's all with living things. I'm a heavy water sign and some flares of fire, and I can't tell if the stones are working. Maybe I'm not used to their version of vibration or energy. I guess my question is, how do you connect to your stones? I can focus a lot of power, but I don't think I'm doing it right or efficiently for this type of magic. My purpose is to store power with a purpose in a stone for when I need it and can't focus well. Thanks in advance. So I also am not a stone, earthy, rock gal. And I know so many, like especially older beginner like witchcraft books really emphasize this, and I just never had the connection, so I'm definitely here for you. I actually have another suggestion for storing magic for my non-stone earth rock friends, but before I tell you, I'm going to read some of their responses. So this response comes from listener Casey. Casey says, personally, and if I understood you correctly, I've never used a stone as a storage device for power. I always use the inherent power vibration within the stone to aid in my work. I've always gone with the theory that stones are at a more perfect vibration than we are, so their own power is its own entity. I know some people say they can program stones. I don't know, not really into it. And again, I feel like it goes against the natural order of the stone. Have you tried sitting with the stone over a period of meditations to see what the stone wants to be used for? Books are a great place to start, but your intuition is usually best. When in doubt, use a pendulum to see what stones want to work with me and for what purpose. Michelle adds, I've been connected to stones my entire life, always connecting and picking them up. I struggle keeping my plants alive. Want to trade secrets? I don't know if this is how I connect them or because I'm connected to them. Either way, it might help. I always like to think of the story behind them. how they were created, when, how the environment has changed, and what their journey has looked like. So, let me give you some advice for non-stone rock witches, because I'm not either. But from what Lilith was saying is her purpose is to store power. My purpose is to store power with a purpose in a stone for when I need it and I can't focus well. So basically, you know, when you feel that power, when you feel the power, when you do everything you're supposed to do right and you feel the surge of energy rush through you and you're like, oh, this is it. Like, now is the time for spell work because I've got all this power built up. One way I like to store that energy is to make little candles. So what I'll do, it's very easy, is I'll buy those little tea lights, the really tiny ones and the tin, the little tins. I'll put them on a pan on a very low setting on my stove. Very, very, very low, because you don't want the wick to overheat. So really low, they'll melt in the pan. And then at that point, I do my magic. I'll make my herbal and oil blends. I'll put the oil and herbs into the melted wax. Don't stir, because you don't want to mess up the wicks. And then I turn off the pan and let them reset. That is kind of how I store little pops of magic. And then put in my like little cabinet. So I've done them for passion spells, love spells, things like that. Things where I just need a little pop of something, right? So that's a really great way to store energy if you're not earthy. Yeah, it's, again, very simple. I can even do a live on it if we want to on the Facebook page or the group. But yeah, that's a really great way to store energy. It's how I've done it in the past. Not magic is also a really great way to store energy if you're just not into rocks or crystals and all that jazz. Because I'm a big fan of revisiting things that we deem, quote, not for us, right? So I don't consider crystals for me. But in like a few years, maybe I should give it another try, because you never really know. Like, we all change and shift and grow as people and witches. So, you know, I'll give it another shot. But I'm also not a big fan of forcing something that's not there, you know. So, great question. All right. So here's another little rant. I love a rant. This comes to us from listener Bree. Bree says, so just a little rant asking for opinions, but I'm not trying to offend anyone. Let's see where this goes. Does it bother anyone how mainstream witch stuff is, but the label of witch is still bad? Oh, of course. An example, my grandma is very Christian, but is now using all these oils. But I know if I told her I was a witch, she would highly disapprove and possibly disown me. And I was just in Books a Million, and they are selling all these astrology candles and crystals and sage kits, but the companies making them are not witch companies, and they are trying to profit off of a trend and don't even know the history behind what they are doing or selling. I don't know, it just kind of upsets me that my faith and things I value are a trend, but if I wanted to run for political office in my area, I would lose because I'm not a Christian. Or if I said I was a witch at work, I would be sure looked at differently and put at a disadvantage. But other Christian girls are so hip and use sage and crystals, not knowing anything about them. I'm all about including people and wanting to share knowledge, but it's just like they're doing the things for fun, but I actually believe them and have a real negative consequences and discrimination for my faith. In rant. Okay. I hear you. No, I get it. I'm definitely of the mindset that, like, I am not paid to gatekeep, like, witchcraft, but I understand exactly how you're feeling. I was a very witchy kid in a very small Christian town, right? Like, I burned my tarot cards because my Christian friends, like, told me they were evil. You know what I mean? Like, that was the environment I grew up in. But now, a lot of the friends who, like, made fun of me or teased me on Facebook are now doing all the things they teased me for, and it's immensely frustrating. I do know oils really, like, I really don't know how to explain it, but, like, I feel like, and I blame companies like Young Living and doTERRA. Like, MLMs are very Christian based and usually use religion and scripture and God to, like, scam other religious people out of their money. So I don't know if maybe that is a part of like why oils are so popular in the Christian community. But sorry, I had to cut. But I feel like they're very popular in the really extreme communities of Christianity. So have you ever had people who go so far one way, they kind of accidentally come back around? Like there's a, like there's a joke of like misogynists who hate women so much that like they don't even deem them good enough to like do housework. Like they hate women so much they've accidentally become like become feminists. It's like a joke, but like when they go so extreme one way, they accidentally loop back around. And I feel like that's kind of has happened with like the like with like this type of stuff. They're like, we're so religious and so Christian, we now only care about nature. It's weird, but like you get what I'm saying. You all understand, hopefully all small bits of you who listen, please don't leave me a bad review. Sometimes I'm so nervous that what I say I'm gonna get like in so much trouble for. But I understand how you're feeling. I get it. It sucks. But I try to see the silver lining, and I'm also trying to remember that yes, while these big companies who are just using the money of these trends to like not pay taxes and like buy a yacht, that's super frustrating. But I'm also trying to remember that a lot of the people who are getting into these trends who are not witches, a lot of them end up supporting witch-based companies, like Witchway or like your favorite Etsy shop or your favorite Instagram influencer. Like witchcraft becoming a trend, while frustrating because we feel like our faith is like still looked down upon while people are like mass buying our stuff at Barnes and Noble and Books a Million. I do feel like it does, they will end up supporting witches. You know what I mean? But it's a hard topic. Like I don't know the perfect thing to like say about it or to even think about it. I do know, and this is just for me personally, I'm not telling other people not to care about these things, but I do know that, like, for me personally, I have so much going on in my life, and I have so much stuff I work on and that I care about that I just don't have the brain power to care about, like, the, you know, non-witches using the witch trend. But I do also agree that it's frustrating. It's frustrating when you were bullied and made fun of for being witchy, and now all the people who bullied and make fun of you are using it on Facebook. So I get it. I get it. I feel like you definitely have a right to feel that way. So, heavy topic, my friends. All right, so we have another one from listener Marin. Maren says, happy Sunday, lovelies. So I'm needing to readjust my morning routines. Another routine question. I'm wondering if anyone has suggestions for simple morning meditations or ritual that energizes and or evokes creativity. I've been wanting a morning practice for a while, but the things I've tried zen me out and make me want to go back to bed. Yes. Same, Maren. Like, I will try to meditate like when I wake up in the morning, and it just makes me sleepy. So let's see what people say. Lilith says, my only suggestion is I do positive affirmation exercises in the morning in the shower. Already relaxing keeps me awake, and I start doing it to replace my less productive or racing anxiety. I have affirmations hanging up in there. Oh, that's fun. Kelly says, start with a daily card reading that inquires about the energies of the upcoming day. If you have time, do it by candlelight in a dim room with music and incense. I love this. So I am someone who's very, very like motivated by like my atmosphere. So if I wake up and I smell incense and like there's like witchy music playing, it really just gets me on the right track. So I may actually have to take that advice as well, Kelly. Frankie says, I've gotten into the practice of daily devotionals. Whether you work with deities or not, you can write them for yourself, deity, Mother Earth, however you practice. I'm sure most of us don't have a ton of time in the morning, but this is a good way to breathe, meditate a bit, and set your day with positive intentions. Hope this helps. And then Christy says, a bit of tea and coffee magic, stir your intention for the day into your tea. That one's a classic. I love these ideas. I definitely think, funsy funds, we need to like all come together to create like a routine thing. Because I definitely feel like it's on everyone's minds right now. It's definitely on mine. So that's a good idea. All right, witches. So we are wrapping up this episode of the Witch Daily Show. I want to give a shout out to listener Elaine Gonzalez. Elaine, you wicked, talented Valkyrie queen. I also want to give a shout out to listener Charlotte. Charlotte, you scholarly, starry-eyed moth. And then finally, Lillian. Lillian, you powerful, poetic unicorn nurse. Thank you so much for being Patreon supporters. I really appreciate it. Thank you for being patient with me. I have readings to do. I have cards to send out. But this whole hurricane really just threw a wrench into my very fine-tuned machine. So, before I leave, we do have a card pull today. This card is Potions and Spells from the Seasons of the Witch Oracle, Samhain Oracle. The keywords are manifesting and calling. Potions and spells are how a witch weaves her magic spell, calling into existence her deepest desires. Potion making and spell crafting are two rituals that, when done correctly, can bring about dozens of manifestations. Adding little pinches of this and that here and there can change your creations ever so slightly, and is an art that has been passed down through hundreds of generations in as many cultures. One of the best nights of the year to create potions and work spells is Samhain, when the veil is at the thinnest. Weaving your magic on this night is like supercharging your magical creations and rituals. Our ancestors would work spells on Samhain to survive the winter. For a time, magic was the very bread and butter of survival, a way to protect, nourish, and support through good times and bad. Should you receive the Potions and Spells card, know you should begin learning the art of potion making and spell crafting. The more personal a spell or potion, the better the chance of a favorable outcome. All right, witches, that's all I've got for you today. Don't forget, any books, decks, headlines, sources, or anything else we've referenced today can be found in the podcast episode description. I hope you have a great day, and we will talk again tomorrow.
Witches, we hope that you have an amazing day filled with magic and inspiration. If you'd like to support the podcast, head on over to our Patreon. Need a support system? Find The Witch Daily Show on Facebook and our website, witchdailyshow.com.